Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we meet as family in the presence of our Heavenly Father, your Son, Lord, your Holy Son. We meet as brothers and sisters in Christ, accepting the responsibility this places upon us to love one another as you have loved us. We meet as your lights in darkness, in a dark world, and pray that through our word and our lives, others might be drawn into your family and accept you as their Lord and their Savior. Amen.
Francis?
I'm sorry?
There's going to be a memorial service tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock for Charlotte's Randall.
Okay.
At the high school?
Would you go ahead? Because I have no idea what...
I just wanted to remind you, if you didn't know, there's going to be a special memorial service tomorrow morning for Charlotte's Randall. It will be at 10 o'clock at the high school. Jim?
Amen.
Our opening hymn is found on page 2173 in your Faith We Sing book. Please stand as we sing together, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Shine on me. Shine. In your bulletin with the call to worship. I will read to begin with, and you will read and respond in the dark. Break open our hearts this morning to hear your word, O God.
Let our fears be vanquished, our spirits restored.
Come and let us worship with great joy.
Let us drop the things of the past which weigh us down.
God is about to do something new in our lives.
Let God's will become strong in our lives.
Come to Jesus this day. Bring with you all the pain that you feel.
Lord, bring to us healing and hope.
Come to Jesus this day. Bring your confusion and doubts.
Lord, bring to us restoration and renewal of life.
Come to Jesus this day, and he will make something beautiful happen in your life.
Lord, we come to you ready to listen, ready to open our hearts to your truth, ready to serve you and you only. Amen.
The Apostles' Creed, which can be found on page 881 in your hymnal. I believe in God, Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
Please turn to page 2175 as we sing together, Together We Serve.
Together we serve, united by love, inviting God's world to the glorious feast. We work and we pray through sorrow and joy, extending your love to the less and the least. We seek to become a beacon of hope, a lamp for the heart and a light for the feet. We learn year by year to let love shine through, until we see Christ in each person we meet. We welcome the scarred, the wealthy, the poor, the busy, the lonely, and all who need care. We offer a home to those who will come, our hands quick to help, our hearts ready to dare. Together by grace we witness and work, remembering Jesus in whom we grow strong. Together we serve in spirit and truth, remembering love is the strength of our soul.
You may be seated.
In your bulletin, you will find the prayer of confession, which we'd like to say in unison. Patient Lord, we find it easy to blame others and other circumstances for the things which happen in our lives. We hear the words, if only, and wonder why things did not happen differently for us. Too often, we want you to be a magic presence, which will, with the wave of a wand, cure our ills, give us success and happiness, but we don't necessarily want to take responsibility for our attitudes and actions. Life is, things happen which we did not plan for, and events swirl around us over which we have no control. But to place blame and not to find ways in which we can work through the situations is detrimental to everyone, especially ourselves. Forgive us when we are so busy blaming that we not recognize our presence and love for us. Free us from placing our own desires and force. Help us to look at the many ways in which you are working in the world for peace and justice, and enable us to be part of that ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The assurance of pardon. Let go of your fears, for before you asked, God had answer. God has forgiven you and offered to you God's healing love. Accept this gift, for it is given for you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This time we'll have the invitation for offering. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Father in heaven, we thank you today for your blessing that you bestow upon us all. Father, I pray for our congregation today. Lord, may we all give with gladness and sincerity.
channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt or faith in you. Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving of ourselves that we receive, and dying that we're born to eternal life.
It is our time for communion. If you would all see your insert. Invitation. Dear friends, we're going to Jerusalem with Jesus. We will suffer the trials with him, resisting evil.
With him, we will walk the path of life.
But come first to the table where there is food for the journey.
With hearts full of joy we come.
Giving thanks to God, our Maker.
And offering our praise.
We are right to praise you, faithful God. You answer sin with grace. You guide our wayward steps towards home. You are mending for the broken, safety for the poor, belonging for the outcast, strength for the weak, and pardon for the sinner. You reveal your kindness in every sorrow, your mercy even in death. All your creatures see your works. They sing your steadfast love. We too declare your wonder and grace, as with angels and saints we sing. Now, O God, we remember Jesus. Let us have a moment of personal reflection in silence. He relied on you for everything. He fasted. He confounded the proud and gave hope to the humble.
He was betrayed and deserted. He died between thieves and was buried in a borrowed grave.
You gave him new life. He lives even now, our healer and friend.
He loved us well, loves us to the end, and loves us still.
Holy Spirit, come, make all things new. Bless this bread which you have given and human hands have made. Let it become for us the bread of life. Bless also this cup, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. Let it become for us the cup of salvation. Bless us also who eat and drink, that in this sharing we may know the living Christ who is with us now and to the end of the age. Nourish us by these gifts to be willing servants of your world until the new kingdom comes and every creature beholds it. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, Heavenly Father, I ask you that you bless this moment, Lord. Bless it in your heart, in Jesus' name. Father, this is the cup of your wine. Let it be this moment, Lord. Just through us and change your hearts, in Jesus' name. If I could have the communion stewards come forward, please. Please come to the Lord's table. It is an open table. He is ready to receive each and every one of you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. the blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. The body of Christ broken for me. The blood of Jesus. If you would read with me the prayer of thanksgiving, please. Let us give thanks. Thank you, merciful God, for gladness in this bread and cup, for love that cannot die, for peace the world cannot give. Give us the gift of Holy Communion. Oneness of heart, love for neighbors, forgiveness of enemies, the will to serve you every day, and life that never ends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There were no prayers submitted today, I'm assuming, but we still have things to pray for. I'll start and then we'll all meet in the middle. Heavenly Father, you know exactly where each one of us is this morning. Not here physically, but our hearts, my Heavenly Father. Maybe we're not able to utter, Lord, the things that we need. We might not even know how to express them. So we pray, my Heavenly Father, giving all our concerns to you, lifting up, Lord, all those that are hurt, all those that are in need, all those that feel lost, my Heavenly Father. And it is with this in mind, Father, that we all together pray. God, you are ultimately in control. The fury, pains, and death of this world are before us this day. We weep over the hunger, war, conflict, and hate, cursing the landscape of the earth, wasting lives that fell victim to forces greater than peaceful, preventive measures could halt. The people are displaced, disenchanted, disillusioned. Your people now groan in pain and struggle. Will the hatred, the cheating, the desperation ever cease? Lives are maimed, cornered, confused, misused, enslaved, and left to die on lonely roads at the end of shattered dreams. The prayers of the broken, the innocent, the depressed, and the grieving ones cried out to you. Prayers of the faithful join in a chorus for the delivering of the suffering. Rise up, brave women and men, to work toward justice and peace against the forces of evil that trample human dignity and destroy us of spirit. Let us not think to walk among the cries of the starving, the pleas of the poor, and the pain of the homeless, and live differently. Forgive our tendencies to not get involved, to help bring peace. May we not just say words, but take a towel and kneel at the feet of the suffering. With the Christ who lives inside of us, help us toil in the center of the world's pain. May our prayers blossom into positive service as Christ pervades our minds and actions, which shows that we are citizens of the realm of God. With this offer for salvation and peace, hope and joy, all in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would go with me to the prayer for illumination, guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that your light we may see light. In your truth we find freedom, and in your will we'll discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading today is from Matthew 23:3 and 23. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without rejecting the former. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we're approaching the end of the Lenten season. With that comes observing the greatest sacrifice of all, Jesus dying on the cross for you and for me. So many things happen during this week, as we remember the week, that forever it is called in the Christian church Holy Week. Today I'd like to speak to you about Jesus' hate group, the Pharisees. The Pharisees are described in the dictionary as, and I quote, a member of an ancient Jewish sect, distinguished by strict observances of traditional and written law, and commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity, a self-righteous person, a hypocrite. This is a new world described, in a word, it describes who they were. There's one thing that I'd like you to do, please. Do not allow your mind to travel into who this sermon is for. It is for all of us, myself included. Do not try to place people that you think this should fit, and by all means, do not think that you are to carry this message to someone else. This message today is just for us. The truth is that the Pharisees did hate Jesus, and Jesus isn't known for showing them a great deal of affection either. He called them out for their hypocrisy. He exposed their inner tombs, but the hatred they felt for him wasn't just a mere sour grapes at his approval rating, or It wasn't based either on the simple principle of good and bad. It was rather more of a personal nature. They just didn't like him. They hated Jesus not because he called them names, but because he threatened their security, their prestige, and income. He was going to ruin everything they had worked so hard for, and he was going, in their eyes, to get everybody killed by claiming to be king. You know, the Pharisees had this thing, agreement going on with the Romans, you know, of coexistence. So Jesus coming in saying that he was the king, that was causing a problem. His popularity, his talk of the kingdom, his affirmation that he was in fact the Messiah, this threatened their false peace. If the people got behind Joseph's son, Rome would awake and start killing Jews, not bothering to distinguish the Pharisees' party from the Jesus' party. The Pharisees hated Jesus, not because he made them look bad with the people, but because he made them all look bad to a specific group of people. In this case, the Romans. In our lives, business, and relationships, we would be wise to remember when judging comes, and it comes from those that are closest to us. Those you think you know best, and those you think should know best. As Spurgeon once preached, beloved, the legalist in us is greater, is a great deal older than the Christian in us. If we were a legalist today, I should be some 15 or 16 years older than I am as a Christian, for we are all born legalist. In other words, we might all be born legalist, but we're made into Pharisees. We're all born believing we can earn and deserve heaven with our good works, our upright behavior. We're born resisting the idea of grace, mostly because it's easier to think that law-keeping is the ground for acceptance with God, when the truth is, it is our failure to be amazed by God's grace. Today, the Pharisees of biblical times will be hard-pressed to be identified in this setting, in the world as we live today. They look educated, clean, and alive. All were dying while dying on the inside. The seeds of sins and death keep growing and spreading underneath the confident appearance and practices that were always harder and harder to cover up. Pharisees were Jesus' greatest human enemies. They misjudged him, but their greater problem is at the end was that they misjudged God and themselves. The Christ would have come 1,000 different ways, and still they would have had a but. He could have come in a manger or on a throne, wrapped in rags or roped in fine cloth, to a carpenter or to a king. They always would have rejected the real Jesus because they refused to believe that they needed the only thing he came to give. Salvation, his life for the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life with God the Father. This is all that God came to give by the means of grace. In their quest to bring others to their way of thinking, they gossip to the disciples and they say, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Luke 5:30. But Jesus overheard them and said, "Those who are well have no need for a physician." Luke 5, 31-32. Jesus was not saying he came only to save the people that seemed to need him most, like rapists, prostitutes, and murderers. No one needs Jesus more than you and me. He was saying he came to save the people who recognize their need for him. While Pharisees were keeping their distance and plotting to kill Jesus, It was tax collectors and sinners who were soaking up every minute of his short life on earth. They just couldn't have enough. In a book called Prodigal God, Tim Keller writes about the dangers of being a Pharisee on today's date. Even the evangelical church runs this danger. He writes, and I quote, "We tend to draw conservative, button-down, moralistic people. The lascivious and liberated, or the broken and marginal, avoid church. That can only mean one thing. If the preaching of our ministers and the practices of our parishioners do not have the same effect on people that Jesus had, then we must not be declaring the same message that Jesus did." End of quote. Why will our churches attract the conservative, button-down, and the moralistic? Is it because they feel more at home with us than they did with Jesus of that day? Is it because we have gotten very compliant and, you know, we just don't want to rock the boat and, you know, we let us just cruise, fly low, as I tell my children? The problem with the Pharisees is not simply that they preach false gospels of works. That is a serious flaw. Galatians 1 and 9. The real problem is the pride and greed and fear underneath any work based on pride on ourselves. It is the motives, it is the reason for which we do the things we do. That pride and greed and fear, or whatever sin you struggle with, eventually will sever your mind and mouth from our heart. It will cut it. It will separate it. It will slice you apart. Jesus rebukes the Pharisees, saying, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Mark 7, 6. They had developed ways of appearing to be godly without really preferring and prioritizing God in their hearts. What they knew about God was disconnected from how they felt about God, and therefore left them even farther from God. If we're serious about grace and true slaves to righteousness, Romans 6, 15 and 18, we must look out for the symptoms of gracelessness. Try saying that fast. If we refuse to believe we could be a Pharisee, we are as vulnerable as the Pharisees who murder the author of our lives. So how would we know if we had delicately or sneakily or without intention become a modern-day Pharisee? Jesus gave us at least six signposts along the highway away from grace. The number one is Pharisees know what to say, but do not do what they say. Jesus says they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavenly burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Matthew 23, 3 and 4. Be aware of the difference between what you say and what you believe and the reality of how you live, and refuse to make peace with it. If what you believe and how you live and how you talk don't all align, whatever is out of sequence, that's what we need to work on. And since we're not perfect, this is something that we can actually examine in ourselves and fix. We are in danger of developing ways to appear godly without really preferring and prioritizing God in our hearts. We're going to do a lot of things, but God is not first in our hearts. We are all sinners, so there will always be some lack of harmony between the two, what we do and what we feel. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are always repenting this side of glory, but look closely at any consistent or reoccurring departure in spending and giving, in serving, in relating to your spouse or children, in loving your neighbor, in indulging in gossip and judging others. Look at these things in all of us. The Pharisees were happy to point out sins in others and even happier to excuse it in themselves. Above all, you must guard your heart. We're not perfect. You've heard me say that many times. Do not strive to be perfect. Try to get closer in your relationship with God. That is the important thing. And in doing that, you will guard your heart. And all the things that are not where they need to be in your life, the Holy Spirit will bring it to the surface. 2, the Pharisees practiced their faith to be seen by others. Jesus goes on, they do all their deeds to be seen by others, Matthew 23 and 5. The Pharisees pray to be seen by others, Matthew 6, 5. They serve the poor to be seen by others, Matthew 6, 2. They obey the scriptures to be seen by others, Matthew 6, 1. And they receive what they really want, and they receive what they really wanted, recognition and esteem from others. Jesus warns, be aware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 6, 1. Is your Christianity consistently aiming for acceptance or approval or affirmation of others? Are you a Christian mainly for social benefits? Or do you pray and serve and give all to the glory of God? That's 1 Corinthians 10:31. If so, the reward from your Father will be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And that's a promise. And it's on Psalm 16, verse 11. Number 3, Pharisees keep people from Jesus and his grace. Jesus brings a third indictment in Matthew 23. It says, you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourself nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them two times as much as a child of hell as you are. Matthew 23:13-15. One of the greatest dangers of Phariseeism is that it's contagious. When we disconnect our heart from our head and quietly put our confidence in our flesh, we lead other people away from Jesus with us. Ask yourself this question. Are the people following you amazed by God's grace? Does your influence in their lives widen their eyes and heart to the wonder that is that God would die for us all just as we are? Do they see that in you? When you're talking to someone about Jesus and when you're telling them your story, is there excitement in your voice? Do you think that it's all that, you know, that there's nothing more important, that there's no bigger contribution that you can make to the world than to tell them about Jesus' grace and love for us? 4, Pharisees add their conviction and tradition to the word of God. What preferences or convictions or traditions do we have that we're not clearly commanded in scriptures? Pharisees love and protect their traditions with their lives. If we make every effort to cover our sins and hide our need of God in our lives, we clearly have not understood the gospel. It doesn't matter what we do. If our relationship is not right with God, it does not matter what we do. They establish and enforce laws about swearing that allow someone to go back on their word in various circumstances. If someone swore by the temple, he did not need to follow through. But if he swore by the gold of the temple, he was bound to follow through. Matthew 23:16. Jesus says instead, let your yes be simply a yes. And let your no be simply a no. Anything more than this does not come from God. Matthew 5:37. What practices or programs in our churches and in our general churches, as well as here, have come exhausting and unfruitful, avoiding what God has really called us to do? We're all guilty of that, myself included. I want to set up this program, that program, and that program. And the first thing that I have to do is look at, is the church healthy? Are we all healthy in the sight of God? That's the first thing we need to do. There's nothing wrong with envisioning other things and reaching out and bringing people in. But are we doing what God has called us to do? Maybe they envision greater and develop bigger and better things and better ways, and they're great and they're awesome and they're good and they're fun and all of those things. But is the church healthy? Or have we been carrying this cold that we cannot find an antibiotic for it? Because it's just taking too long to address it. Number 5, Pharisees lack love for people in need. Besides their hatred of Jesus, there is the Pharisees' lack of love for people, especially people in need. Jesus rebukes them. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the heavier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. This you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a bug and swallowing a camel. So we're looking to do this, but we're not looking to do the little step. Telling others our story, participating when there is a need in the church, volunteering on different occasions, leading a ministry, all to the glory of God. But we want to have that. We want to have people come in. We want to, have our church full. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Lord knows that I want that too. But why don't we start with the little steps? What are we doing? How are we going to show the love of Christ to the people that are coming in, the ones we're trying to attract, if we don't take care of the little things? They look for every conceivable reason not to help the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. They look down on Jesus for sitting with sinners instead of having compassion on them. That's Mark 2:16. They despise Jesus for healing a man's withered hand instead of wanting to see him heal. Mark 3:5-6. They curse Jesus for casting a demon out of another man instead of rejoicing that he was finally free. Matthew 12:22-24. They rejoice when they think others are in trouble instead of offering them help and, above all, grace. Pharisees find every way to influence the law, to walk the long way around the half-dead man laying in the middle of the road right in front of them. That's Luke 10:31-32. And yes, some look for ways to punish the church, by withdrawing their fellowship, their service, their tithing, forgetting that those who have died with Christ have died to themselves and live for the needs and interests of whoever God has placed in our path. You've all heard this. You can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your family. That's what we are. This is the church family. So where we would like to go and do things for the church in Alamogordo, the Lord is telling you, start right here. This is your family. You start with us. And lastly, Pharisees cover sin instead of confessing and repenting. You clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also, that the outside may also be clean. You are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Matthew 23, 25, and 28. The best thing that I can tell you is that to me that is a reflection of the unforgiveness in people's heart. It doesn't matter how much good you do, how much you participate, how much you give, how many times you come to communion. If you're harboring something against another human being in your heart, guess what? That is preventing everything else from coming through. Lawful on the outside, but full of lawlessness. Bleach exterior walls, but full of death. A conservative, moral, and religious social media profile, but chasing sin with every secret click. When what we know about God is disconnected from how we feel about God, it always leaves us farther from God. If we make every effort to cover our sins and hide our need, we clearly have not understood the gospel, and we have not embraced the fullness of grace. Pharisees say they have fellowship with Jesus, but they walk in darkness. 1 John 1 and 6. Lovers of Jesus confess our sins, knowing he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and 9. I've told you before, it is so simple. When you know that you have taken the wrong direction, don't try to fix it yourself. You know, don't try to make the crooked places straight. Go directly and confess it to the Lord. Have him guide you. Have the Holy Spirit work with you. And then get back on the right track. We are not meant to be perfect. We are never going to be. We will always be falling and getting up. Falling and getting up. It isn't the getting up that we're full of grace. Once we tell the Lord, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I should have helped. I should have said something. I should have extended my hand. That is when you get up and you're full of grace. Are you a Pharisee in the making? Are you a Pharisee in the closet? Have these words today made you uncomfortable, mad, upset, or made you think and ponder? Has anything the pastor here said sounds too familiar for me? Is there anything I need to have a come to Jesus moment and asking, Father, you know my heart, show me, is there anything in me that needs to come to the light? And then God will give you the courage to see what it is, to confess, and get you out. Do you recognize any of these symptoms in yourself? I know I do. This sermon is as much for me as it is for every one of you. Because at one point or another, on purpose or by omission, we all touch that door that the Pharisees like to keep in front of us and tell us what we should do and how we should think and what we should forgive and what we should hold against somebody else. If we begin to sense a disconnect between our head and our hearts, what we say and who we are, the solution is not simply to say, I am right, they are wrong, or this is the way God made me. My suggestion is, read more. Get the Bible. Get some devotional books. Find an allegory. I got to tell you, one of my favorite, if not my favorite book, is Hind Feet in High Places. I have the book, and then I have the audiobook. And I go through that at least two or three times a year, because it speaks to me over and over. And when I find myself like the little sheep in that story, there's nothing that is going to get me out but the reminder of the love that God has for me. When you search the Word of God, when you look for Him, you will find Him. Come to a Bible class here. Talk to me. You might be surprised. I might be able to help you. Knowledge is vital. Romans 10:2 says that. But it is not the key to receiving or reviving our hearts. Only God is. Knowledge doesn't open eyes and ears. God does. God must drag whatever each of us knows about Him into our hearts and light it with His Spirit, with faith, love, and joy. We are God's children. If we are in need, that's where we need to go. If we're in doubt, that's where we need to go. If the Lord places someone in our lives that can help us along the road, take the help. Don't suffer in silence. Don't think that you're supposed to carry, you know, whatever the weight of whatever it is you're carrying by yourself. When you have doubts, speak up. Above all, make sure who you follow, because the only one that will lead you in the right way will be Jesus. As we approach Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem instead of palms next Sunday, will you consider laying your heart down at His feet? Will you prepare this week? Will you pray? Will you ponder on what I have said and what I have been saying all along our Lent observance? Everything that I have preached has been to encourage you to open your heart, to encourage you to put glasses on if you need it, to look deep into your heart, so that when Resurrection Sunday comes in, it's a Resurrection Sunday celebrated all around the world, but it's also in here. So as we prepare for Palm Sunday, will you consider laying your heart at God's feet? Will you consider telling Him how you really feel about things? Don't hold back. If we're not intentional, Palm Sunday will come and go and mean very little to us. We are at a stage of our lives in which we just don't have the time. I was told recently that I tend to tell people what to do through my preaching. And I was thinking about that and I said, yes, I do, because I care for each one of you. Because through my hospice years, I have seen the gift of time come to an end. And I know that while we are in the gift of time today, it is not given for tomorrow. We're only given it one day at a time. And I want each one of us, at the appointed time, not a day before, to go out with a bang. To having done anything and everything we can to have served God to the fullest, to lay down everything we didn't do right when we were younger, and our last years to be lived in grace, the grace that God has given us, but also the grace we are to give to each other. Let us pray. O gracious Master, infuse our hearts the spotless light of your divine wisdom and open the eyes of our minds that we may understand the teachings of your gospel. Instill in us also the fear of your blessed commandments, so that having curbed all carnal desires, we may lead spiritual lives, both thinking and doing everything to please you. For you, O Christ, our God, are the enlightenment of our souls and our bodies. And to you we render glory together with your eternal Father and with your all-holy life, creating Spirit, now and ever and forevermore. God, Heavenly Father, look upon us and hear our prayer during this holy season of Lent. By the good work that you inspire in each one of us, help us to discipline ourselves. And help us, Father, to renew a new spirit in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Closing hymn is found on page 571. Please stand as we sing verses 1 and 4 of Go Make of All Disciples.
Go make of all disciples, we hear the call, O Lord, that comes from Thee, our Father, in the inspire our ways of learning through earnest, fervent prayer, and let our daily living reveal Thee everywhere. Go make of all disciples, we welcome Thy command. Though I am with you always, we take Thy guiding hand. The task looms large before us, we follow without fear. In heaven and earth Thy power shall bring God's kingdom near.
And now receive this blessing from the Lord. O Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, and strengthened to follow on the path you set before us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Go forth for God. Go to the world in peace. Be of good courage, armed with heavenly grace. In God's good spirit, daily to increase.